Welcome to Pop Culture Roulette for all your pop culture needs. We're America's podcast. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is a special episode of Pop Culture Roulette. The other guys couldn't join us, so we are joined today by a fellow We Are Family contestant, Josh Weaver. Josh, how's it going today?
Oh, Nick, it's going so well. How you doing, bud?
All right. Well, before we get going, let's learn a little bit about you. Past just being one of the very few other men who were, had bearded like I was on We Are Family.
Hefty bearded love boys that they
right.
I love when they were casting that show when we're all there. There's 100 and however many of us there. I could see the archetypes that they were casting. And Nick, you and I were definitely their big, lovable bearded gents.
Did they at all come when they were doing the makeup test and they were putting everybody and taking pictures? Did they refer to you as disheveled as well?
Oh boy, but no, I spent so much time learning how to put my hair up in a neat bun that they're just like, oh, did you already go through hair? I was like, no, but thank you.
No, I believe the one makeup artist who came up to me was like, oh, so you're going for the disheveled look. Okay.
And you're like, I guess I am now. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
that you was so what much. I was. That's what I was trying to do. It wasn't
this whole
just
time on purpose.
So, well, before we go too far, how did you get involved with it? Because I'm learning through talking to several other We Are Family contestants.
Yeah.
There was a very strange casting process for a lot of us.
Did most people mention an Instagram ad that they saw?
No.
Really?
I mean, it's been various different ways. Mine was a Facebook one, because through promoting the podcast, I'm involved with a bunch of pop culture Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, oh, they're doing this thing for Pop Culture Guru. You should sign up. I was like, done. I'm in.
Yeah, easy.
Yep. I did an interview where they did like basically like a Jeopardy style. Like, you know, it was like, you know,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, all right. And then I didn't hear from them for like a year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, about the same process. For me, it was an Instagram ad. I saw the Instagram ad. There was a really long form fill. So I like did it while I was watching a movie that night. And then I think I had a call with them either the next day or the day after. So like that call came real quick. They're like, oh, you fit really well. Let's talk. So I had like an initial interview with a couple producers. And then I'm pretty sure Grayson was the first person. But again, this was like a long time ago, a year plus now, longer than that even. And then once they finally said like, oh, we like you. Oh, we want to have you come back. We want to have you meet a couple different people. Then I think I got like a message every 6 months at that point. I got like, I had one really good interview with my, who would be later be my producing casting director. And then after that, it was just me checking in every couple months being like, hey, is this still going? And then you're totally right. The game that we played, nothing like the final game. They were just making sure that we knew pop culture.
I have become convinced, based off of what I've heard from some people who were on the floor,
yeah,
as well as our show, is that they were casting both of them at the same time.
Yes.
And they were moving us in between what show we were going to be on.
100%.
And then, like, I'm pretty sure I got shifted over to We Are Family because my passport expired.
Oh, okay.
Because,
I think I was We Are Family the whole time.
Yeah, because
but people like Jason and his sister were originally on the floor, then they overcast it, so they moved them to We Are Family.
Yeah, so because they filmed We Are Family, the floor in Ireland for some reason. It makes a lot of sense. Why would you fly 81 people to Ireland? And
great tax breaks. Great tax breaks.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, all right, so your involvement in We Are Family, obviously, you know, because I have a pop culture podcast and I try to get it out there, I made myself known to them. How did you get involved with that? Like, what is your involvement in the pop culture industry? I know I was doing a little research on where you have, but I didn't quite understand. Eat More Tiny Trees.
Yes.
I
Okay.
got the reference of the broccoli thing.
Oh, good. Okay. Some
You know,
people are
'cause
just like,
it's
hey, Ouija. I'm just like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess if that's your
well,
proclivity,
it's nature
like name,
silent.
but.
It's nature silent killer. It tries to warn you. It's been warning you for this terrible taste.
It's so I don't know if I know this is just a podcast, so I have to describe when my eyes lit up. But when you said I did some research on you, I also have a podcast that I've hosted for the better part of 6 years where I interview people. And obviously, Nick, you're going to be on my show called Nudeman with Josh. We'll get to plugs later. But I do a lot of research on people, and I love that process. And I've never had someone do it on me as in-depth as I do it. And I'm not putting you on the spot at all, but I'm curious, what other research on me did you pull up?
Well, I try. I
What's
mean, there,
publicly out there?
there, there was. I found your IMDb profile.
Okay, cool, fun.
So you know, there was not a lot there. But there, you
Rude. No, I'm kidding. You're right. Yeah,
know,
I'm more behind the scenes when it comes to working with
I
entertainment.
did have a question. There was an the episode, one of the more recent episodes, or one of the most recent episodes that I could find through the Podcast Addict app that I use.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not updated because I know that there's episodes that you've done since November, but they're just there for whatever reason aren't showing up on my feed. So.
What I did do, and this is something that's been a little more, I'm coming on your show to promote it, I guess, but it's a little bit more under the radar until now because it's been long enough, everyone's gotten paid. But the moment we finished filming We Are Family, I started recording podcast episodes with as many people as I could from the show, being like, okay, I'm going to ask everyone the same 7, 8 questions. You know, how'd you get here? What'd you have in your tiny little bag? I just kind of did the same questions over and over again, and I recorded about 40 of those. So those I've slowly and kind of undercover released so just the We Are Family people can listen to other people's weigh in.
Okay.
But everyone's gotten paid. We've all gotten past the show being out. So now I think I'm just going to bulk upload 40 episodes and see what happens.
All right, yeah, I mean, I've done a couple episodes over the time where
Yeah.
I've definitely I've made a I'm I went out of my way to make sure I never released any like behind the scenes
Yeah,
stuff
but the questions were
until after
very.
the episode aired. And once all of the episodes aired, I did a couple episodes where I was like, let's talk about a lot of stuff. I mean,
Let's
because
get deep into it.
let's get, because I mean, at a certain point, like they just can't stop me from talking.
No,
But
and again, the thing to keep in mind is, you know, we're entertainers. We work in, you know, the audio medium, but as long as you're not ruining the show for someone who you might be turning on to it, you're fine.
yeah.
Talk about the back scene, like behind the stage, how fun it was, how long it was, how crazy it was.
Yeah.
All that should be fun and honestly
And
would make me more interested in the show.
you know, I mean, we're not going to just keep harping on it because, you know, at this point I'm sure my audience is tired of hearing about it, but I mean, my experience of it was going to be is a little different than yours because you were not an alternate. You were in all 10
100%.
episodes.
Yep.
I only got to
Very,
be in the last 3. So
very different
they're, you know, very
experience.
different experience, but anyway, back to Eat More Tiny Trees and the
Eat
broccoli
more tiny
reference.
trees.
So does this that so you said you're more behind the scenes, and then I listened to the episode with Shea. Now I can all I can remember from the episode is the Shea Butter joke, so I can't remember her name.
No, Shay.
Yeah.
Shelby.
Shelby. Yeah,
Shelby
Shelby
Shay.
Shea. Okay, yeah. Where you were talking about having met her on as a background on a show, but you never specifically said what show or movie it was.
That one was a movie called Inner Demons.
Okay.
We, I think that ended up in my IMDb. We'll see.
I think it did, yeah,
Okay,
but
cool. So we genuinely, I have a really good friend who is director, producer, all of the above out here in the horror genre. And he called me the day of and he goes, hey, I just need some background people. Are you in? I was like, yeah, sure. So of course I get there and I always joke that he loves casting me in his stuff because I look like a younger version of him. We're both bigger guys with big beards and like hair down to our waist. So he, of course, puts me like front and center and where the extras are with this wonderful other actress, Shelby, and we hit it off immediately. So whenever we're doing like this background, like featured extra work, I love to make an entire story that's just about whatever that actor, that character is doing, because obviously it's not tied in the main plot. We're a background character you'll never see again. So we went off the deep end making backstories on our character to the point where he's just like, I have future ideas for these two characters based on what we've brought up. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, I'll keep in touch with Shelby and you tell us when you're free next.
Well, I do enjoy. I mean, I watch a shit ton of movies.
Good.
I watch just ridiculous. I honestly, like, sometimes I think I find myself watching bad movies more than watching good movies,
Oh, yeah.
because they're
Oh,
just so
yeah.
much more enjoyable. Like,
Yep.
I mean, when and like when like it's a bad example, but Snakes on a Plane, like, you can tell, like, those people knew when they showed up, they signed up for a movie called Snakes on a Plane.
Yep.
So they were having fun with it.
100%.
And when you're in a bad movie and you know it's a bad movie, so you're having fun, like, it
Yeah.
makes it way better.
Makes it way easier too, because you don't have to come with this. You can come with levity. You can come with
But
like, I understand what I'm doing here.
there's always fun sometimes if you've seen a movie enough times to start watching the background,
Oh yeah, I
because
love that.
you'll see background actors doing things where you're like, wait, what? Do you know what you're in? Or, like, you clearly
They're
the
doing the
director was not paying
most.
attention to you. Like,
The other thing too I love is when I love to decide who is an actual extra and who was just there on the street walking by. And it's always the person walking by does this like over the shoulder glance at what's happening and then keeps going. So they're like, oh, they were just on the wrong street at the wrong time, and now they're in this bad movie for eternity. And it's fun separating out who's there, got up, went through hair and makeup, brought their own costume, learned the blocking, and then those people who are just in the background in the shot. Like, I love just pointing out, being like, extra background, extra normal
yeah,
person.
I do wonder that sometimes when you watch like a crowd scene or
Yeah.
a city scene where you're like, wait, I wonder. Yeah, well, because I mean, that's the like I don't know, I've never known how true it is, but like Elf, where
Yeah.
the old man who had the beard and the red sweatsuit, they're like, yeah, he wasn't an extra, he was just walking by.
And he just looked perfect. And what's so funny too is, so we can get a little deeper into this if you want, but I, for the longest time, have been on the backside of film, either as a publicist or helping, with editing and sourcing and getting voiceovers and working with talent. And it's so fun to like that guy who was walking down in a red suit. They probably had some production assistant run down the street with a please give us your talent release. We have to use this scene. They could care less about every other person in that scene because they didn't stand out. But I guarantee you, there was someone who had to run down, chase him down, explain the movie, introduce him to Will Ferrell, talk about what they're doing, just mention how good they look, got him to sign paperwork. Probably had to talk to him about, like, no, you're not getting paid. You were just in the shot. But you're going to be in a movie. You can tell all your friends. So I feel like I love thinking about that. The one that always gets me is like, oh, someone had to wake up and do craft service for this scene. Well, especially in a bad movie. Especially in a bad movie. There's someone just off camera who's got orange slices because that's all that they can afford. I've been on big sets and I've been on little sets where I just like,
So,
that's what I'm thinking about when I'm watching a movie.
people have various ideas of what talent agency or what a production team. What exactly is it that you do, so that we don't have just random ideas and we're off developing all sorts of stories on our
No, I love it. Make it a mystery.
own.
Everyone's version of Josh is different. So my day job is I work in an ad agency as an executive and on some pretty big accounts in the LA area. But by night, I work as a publicist, and any chance I get to be on or near a set, I'll take it. I have repped a couple of different actresses, some bands. I currently work as kind of like a, in my spare time, as a connector, as I've always haven't thought of a better name for it. But like someone will be like, oh, we're doing this and we need this. And I'm like, oh, great. I have a friend who is local. This is his cost, blah, blah, blah. And then like I love connecting people because then I get to see what the final piece that they made, with or without me, usually without me, because I'm making the connection and I'm moving on. But the point of a publicist is to kind of do that. It's to make connections and it's to hype up people who are chronically either shy, embarrassed, or think that they shouldn't be talking about themselves like this. A really fun example, and she's potentially within earshot, so she could be running in the screen to punch me soon, is my fiance is an incredibly talented improv performer. She's in a house group called the Pack Theater, where she performs every other Sunday with a bunch of people. Thousands applied. She was one of the few that got it. And then she just started a duo with one of our best friends, and they're getting booked constantly. And now my favorite thing as a publicist is whenever I meet somebody new and they're like, oh, we have a show that we do. I'm just like, great. I have a duo or I have a group of eight. Which do you need? And make the connection. And then I kind of go from there to just make sure that people meet each other. And then I get to kind of be like, go have fun. I've made the connection I need. On to the next one. So you can kind of see or guess why that's my afterward gig, because it doesn't pay well. But it is the connections that I then make that offer me opportunities. So I've made a ton of connections that have led to the director being like, hey, why don't you stand in this scene? And then I'll stand in the scene, I'll do really well. And they'll be like, oh, hey, come back tomorrow, do it again. So that happened a couple times in college where I was working as a publicist. My background is in PR and social media. And I was working as a publicist for an actress. I got her a gig. And then I met the casting director, and he's just like, oh, hey, you have a really good look for this scene. Do you mind taking your shirt off? And I was like, absolutely not. Let's go. So I get in this scene. I start meeting the director, some of the producers. I start meeting the other actors. And at this point, to them, I'm a featured extra, right? I'm just being a nice guy. But I'm also then off stage being like, hey, that was a fun scene. Now, let me tell you what I do. And then I met the director and the casting director, and they're like, well, shit. The moment that show closed, they called me and they said, we need 10 more people. Do you have it? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And they're like, oh, also make sure one of those is you, because we want you in the show too. So, like, that's been the fun part that I get to do as a publicist. Now I just got to figure out how to make real money out of it.
That's always the hard part.
Right.
I mean, my job is a service mechanic, so I fix and repair
Yeah.
and spend all day getting my hands greasy.
Yeah.
And if I could find a way to not do that, that would be great.
That's why we do this, right? We record, make it fun, find that audience, and then bam.
Then one of these days, I'll get an audience of more than 20 people.
That's it. Hey, that's what we're writing for. Those 20 people need to tell their friends. So each 20 of them bring 20 more. Because if they love what you're doing, so will their friends.
So I did listen to a couple episodes of what I could find, just
Wonderful.
so I had a baseline for what a good feeling. I love the theme song because it's very Ben Folds-esque.
Yes.
Ben Folds
Oh,
is
that's such a good connection.
one of my all-time favorite artists, and I could tell like I could
Same.
tell like if. If this wasn't intentionally Ben Folds-esque, like the person definitely like had an idea, like there was definitely, I felt like an intention there, but
I very much picked the artist and then let them go. I've been a musician. I played sax for a really long time, and I was in choir from like third grade all the way through college. And I understand making music is incredibly hard, difficult, and it's one of those things that I've found that instead of me writing the lyrics and like banging out a song and then being upset with it, I have to find the musician that I love, that whatever they come out with is going to be perfection. And when I was in choir in high school, we were in a show choir, we were in a quartet together. There's an individual's name is Tommy Sklut, and he has since gone on to be a like incredibly prolific dueling piano performer. He's in some documentaries about the topic, and he opened a music school, and he just has one of my favorite voices, and he plays the piano so, like, a better word for this, but jauntily is what I get in my head. It's just he's so light on the keys. So when I was just like, hey, Tommy, like, what are you doing? Do you can I buy you for a project? And I was like, I have a podcast, I have three rules, this is what they are, and that's as much as I got. And he goes, okay, got it. And then it genuinely was 2 months later, comes back, he's like, done. Recorded all the lines. He recorded all the pieces. He,
Oh,
drummed.
wow.
Everything was all him. And he's got a studio in a shed in his house back in Michigan. And genuinely came back 2 months later with perfection. I had no notes and I've used it ever since. I do need to update the lyrics a little bit because things have changed since then. But
Okay. Well, I mean, there was one lyric that kind of stuck out to me that was a little strange, and I'm hoping you can maybe explain it. And I feel like there's an inside joke, but
Walk the
I like to
sandwich.
know inside jokes. He's French onion dip.
Dean's French onion dip. Dean's French onion dip. Okay, so the three rules of my show, and this is good because you're going to be on it, so I don't have to explain it when you're there. The three rules of my show are: A, you have to take a drink if we get interrupted. Drink can be, if you don't drink, it can be anything you want. It could be weed, it can be grab some water, but it's our way to like reset, right? For me, it's usually like Casamigos, this crazy tequila that goes down so smooth that makes me make weird noises. But I kind of like that. And the first rule is if we're interrupted from a phone to someone walks on set to at the time, I had a dog who was very loud and would just bark randomly, only when I was recording and not a bunch, but just like one or two really big ones, enough that someone would get distracted. That's where that came from. The second rule is the safe word is Dean's French onion dip. Now, Dean's French onion dip is exactly what it sounds like, a French onion dip that I absolutely love. It is one of my favorite foods, and I don't buy it because I would finish it immediately. It's like special occasion food for me.
I'm fairly certain I have some in the fridge right now, actually.
It's so good. I love it. With some ruffles and just, I could finish a whole tub. But the inside joke was that if the safe word is Dean's French onion dip, the show is going to be so edgy that I'm going to end up getting a sponsorship deal from Dean's French onion dip. So far, all of my guests have never needed to use the safe word, so that has not appeared yet. But Dean's French onion dip is the safe word on Noodling with Josh, so that's where that came from.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right then.
Long walk for sometimes what doesn't pay off, but that is the history
Yeah.
of it.
So I mean, what we talked about it a few minutes ago, but to bring it back,
Yeah.
the broccoli, is that a reference to the Simpsons? Dr. Hibbert, or do you just
It's
genuinely like broccoli,
I
or?
genuinely love broccoli. Like I'll have a plate of just raw broccoli and some ranch, and that's boys' meal. Or boys' dinner, right? Girls' dinner, boys' dinner. For me, it's just a shit ton of veggies. But tell me about the Dr. Hibbert because I'm now spacing on the quote.
That's what it's. I believe it's one of the Halloween episodes, but it's
Yeah.
Homer eats the broccoli and dies, and Dr. Hibbert's like, broccoli is nature's killer. It's been trying to warn you for with its terrible taste forever, and like Homer as a ghost like picks like ghost broccoli up and dies again, like as he.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I have to find that. I am as old as the Simpsons are. And I love like people reference something and I'll be like, did that come out when I was 4? Because I probably haven't seen it since.
I was, let's see, Simpsons was 89, so I was 11 or 11 when the
When
first
started?
episode aired, 12 when it started as a series. So I have
You
been
were
watching, I've been watching The Simpsons since it was on Tracey Ullman show.
That's amazing. I was born in 88. So I kind of, I'm just like, oh, they're on 36 season. Okay. I'm 36, 36 this year. So I've been able to follow my own age.
Oh, okay. Hey, there you go.
I
I
try not
mean,
to remember it.
all right. Well, then I guess, man.
There's so
So,
much to get into.
yeah, there. Okay, I do remember. There was a conversation that you and I had on set, which unfortunately for me was not as many as I would like to, because I was only there for a couple of the days.
And there were so many people. There were
Right.
so I
So it
it
was hard.
genuinely was like, oh, we're here for 2.5 weeks. I'll get to meet all 116 of these. I maybe got through 40, like of having good, deep convos. And I'm just like, I need another month with these
Yeah.
people.
Well, and it didn't help that I got stuck at the hotel across the street and
I'll tell you what, all I wanted was for people to just like be in that pool. I wanted all 100 of us to be near and around that pool. So I tried everything I could to get people there. And that's where I stayed most of the days off.
yeah.
Because I knew that it was standing up for 10 hours is a lot harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
So I needed to do nothing on my days off. I've been on enough sets to know that so many people would like go hiking, go downtown. I did go to Braves games. That was
Yes,
fun.
I went to a Braves game. I did a couple things. I used to live in Atlanta. I went to high school and
Oh,
college.
really?
I went to high school and college in Atlanta.
Oh, sweet.
So like I tried to get a couple of friends to come pick me up, but I was on the wrong side of Atlanta.
We were quite far.
Because I when I lived in Atlanta, I lived on the other side. And like, you wouldn't think like I guess having moved to Wisconsin, where just to go to the movie theater is a 30-minute drive, like I'm just used to like everything like, oh, we're gonna go out. Well, it's at least a half hour drive to get wherever we're going. Like
Yeah,
it's
right.
just where, you grew up in the Midwest. It's
I grew
probably
up in
something,
Michigan, so
yeah.
it's
So
very
it's
much the same.
right. I
Yeah.
know now you're out in LA, everything takes an hour just but you only go 2 miles.
I gotta say, comparatively, I like the Michigan trend like better. I like the I'd rather be in a 30-minute drive, but I know that I'm, not moving the full time. It's when I'm going 2 miles and it takes the same amount of time that drives me nuts. And I have the wrong car for it. I have the worst gas mileage literally possible. I have a Challenger. So I'm rocking like a good 15 miles per gallon. I love that car when I'm gonna open it up in Michigan. And I spent 10 years in Vegas, and the Vegas is for me my favorite city for a thousand reasons. The biggest being that everything is 24 hours, so I can genuinely go get sushi at 4 a.m. and it's there's gonna be an option for me. But the other piece is that the traffic is like I can get from one side of Vegas to the clear other side of the valley in 20 minutes because there are so many ways to get there. Like there's almost more routes than people there, so it makes it real easy to get places. Whereas LA, there's one way to get where everywhere and millions of people. Which one
I
do you
was
take?
just out in Vegas for a trade show back in January.
Which one?
World of Concrete.
Oh, sweet. Okay. At
But
the convention center?
at the big oh, it was massive.
Oh my,
It
it's like a
was
full city block.
yeah. It is oh but we took a lot of Ubers just to get from place to place, and like these Uber drivers were like flying around back alleys and like doing this, and it's like I don't even know how you're clearly better than Google Maps because like there's no way Google Maps told you this was the way to go.
This is the way to. Well, what's so funny too about that city specifically is the giant amount of hotels and like in the center of the valley, you know exactly how where you are at all times, right? Like if you have the stratosphere on your right-hand side and it's now moving behind you, that means you're traveling south. Like it's so as long as you know where the hotel is and you know where you're going, like you don't need to even look at the road signs. You can get there.
That was one of the things. I lived in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area for a couple years. That was as long as I knew where the ocean was.
Yes,
And
same
like
thing.
is I said, okay, I'm looking at the ocean. That way is Miami. That way is West Palm Beach. That way is everything else. And Florida, because it's been ravaged by hurricanes, everything was built intentionally. So every road is north, south, east, west. There's very few. Like in
Like
Atlanta, where
curved
Peachtree Street,
roads and yeah.
Peachtree Street intersects itself.
Yeah.
There's none of that. So you're just like, I have
Yeah.
no idea where I ever am here. I've lived in Wisconsin now for 50, oh, gee, almost 20 years. Wow. That's,
It's you genuinely have to be good at where like the
I
position of
still,
the sun and the stars
yeah,
are
I still have
when
no
you're out in
idea
the
where I am
Midwest.
half the time. I just,
Really? There were a few times where I genuinely got my way home from a barn party in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, and I got back to my small town by the stars, being like, wait, that's Venus. That's the big. Okay, then I need to go that way. Like, no other road signs, nothing. I'm just gonna, yeah. So it's the Midwest is its own wild.
Yeah, there's the whole culture here that I guess not growing up here, growing up in other places, having moved here and become a transplant, become a Wisconsinite by just living here for a long time,
Right? Oh my God. You have access to such good curds.
I mean, the food here is amazing. I mean,
Oh,
that's
so
also a
good.
reason why I need to lose a lot more weight than I have.
Hey, we have an archetype, right?
Yeah.
Big,
All right, but anyway, back
disheveled,
then,
bearded boys.
what I was, one of the conversations that I believe you and I had, you
Yeah.
have a friend who created the oatmeal.
I sure did.
Okay, yeah,
I
I was
sure do.
hoping
Excuse me. Yeah. We
I was
sure
hope.
did have that convo. I sure do. He's one of my best
Okay.
friends,
So
Matt.
the oatmeal is a great web comic that I've not read as recently as I should have, but I
Hey,
did.
it's still there,
All right.
theoatmeal.com.
Oh yeah, and that's the beauty part is you can go back and read it and go through it.
Everything.
I
You can go
did
back and read
really
everything.
enjoy it when I would go to it, and it's something that I keep meaning to go back to, but
Like,
that.
genuinely, that is one of my greatest joys in life. And I will make sure he hears this so he can hear it from my perspective. I'm pretty sure I've told him this story 100 times. But when I was in college, I discovered theoatmeal.com. And it was one of those things that, like, reinvigorated what comedy could be to me. It was that level of, like, I haven't seen this yet. And this was back early days of the internet. He is kind of a pioneer of some of the stuff from, display ads to creating those fun quizzes like, how many horse-sized ducks or duck-sized horses could you take on in a fight? Like stuff like that. Like back to those eight, where it was a website just for questions like that. And I from college, I read everything religiously as it came out. I read it. Especially like, extra panels or, but then many, many moons later, when I'm working in a company called Zappos, we have what was called this like bullpen area. And I was on the social media team and we'd get a lot of like cold emails about stuff. And people would like sometimes yell them out loud, be like, hey, does anyone know blah, blah, blah? 'Cause then you just loop that person in because we get a lot of cold emails being kind of like a semi-famous company with kind of like a celebrity CEO. So at one point, someone called out like, "Does anyone know the oatmeal?" And I was like, "Me, send it to me, send it to me, send it to me. I want to read it." So the event was his assistant Amanda was putting on this race called Beat the Blurch, and it was based on the comic of the exact same name. Have you read that one?
I maybe, but it's not coming to mind right away.
It's the giant fat little cherub that like tells you not to go work out. It's the one that you kind of give into. It's his
Okay.
embodiment of sloth and gluttony of sorts. But he was creating a race around the topic where instead of, it was like the opposite of Tough Mudder. Instead of having water at station, we'd still have water stations, but instead of water stations, we'd have cake stations. And
Ah.
then in the middle of the woods, because it was a long marathon, we would have like couches and like beds set up, and we'd have like our activation at Zappos is we came and we brought a massive tent and we made it like a reality TV lazeabout where we tried to convince people not to do the marathon. We had a fried donut station where we'd fry a donut for you and grill it and put toppings on it. But Matt and I just became close friends because like I would do the weirdest shit at this marathon. He made these giant blurch outfits that were basically like a full two or three comforters sewn together and to look like this fat angel. And I'd wear it and I'd run around and I'd put chocolate sauce and whipped cream in people's faces. And I whipped marshmallows at people from the grandstands and it was all for social content. And getting him good photos to use on the Oatmeal Social and Zappos as a good brand partner. But he and I kept in touch after these events and I left Zappos and he goes, hey, do you just want to come and do this? Like, I was like, yeah, sure. So he paid me to come down and kind of give the same experience through what I was running EMTT, my own agency for a while. And we just became best friends. We text every day. There's a group thread with me, Matt, and two of my other buddies, Ryan and Derek. And it's just, I lucked into being best friends with my idol of an artist. I don't know how else to explain it.
Oh, and it's always risky meeting your idol because,
Oh, right? Oh,
I mean that
absolutely.
could have gone completely differently.
100%. And then I would have hated seeing his art everywhere. But no, I'm literally on my bookshelf. I have every single one of the books he's ever printed. And I worked at Exploding Kittens for a long time, his company that he made around the Kickstarter. Did you ever hear
I've
about
always
Exploding
been I've
Kittens?
always seen the game, but it's one
Yeah.
of those that for whatever reason we've never played as a family.
Pick it up.
I don't know why.
You will immediately forget about Uno and you'll never play that game again. Like it'll replace, it's that type of game. It'll replace that and you'll play it everywhere.
Okay, well, I mean, I know we were doing Cards Against Humanity for. If you want to have a
That's a great
really,
one.
if you want to have a really weird experience, sit around the table with your mother-in-law, your father-in-law,
Oh yeah.
your sister and brother-in-law, and your wife playing Cards Against Humanity. That is,
I'll raise you one better. All those same people, but my mom invited all of her coworkers, never had played the game before, and was like, "Joshua, you are here visiting, so your job now is to teach everyone here how to play this new game I bought," because I was working at a game company at the time. So I had to explain cards, and I just bit the bullet and I was like, "All right, you're going to get to know your coworkers a lot better, mom. Here's how you play." And it was just at the beginning of their kind of success. So we got this early copy and we're playing it. Exploding Kittens and Cards Against Humanity teamed work really closely together because they were in that same time and that same kind of, like, no other company went from 0 to 9 million like we did, like Cards Against Humanity. So it was one of those, like, there's this weird brotherhood at the beginning where we're just like, yeah, let's figure this out. We just made a bunch of money and now we're going to make a sweet game. And that was one, just watching my mother's face just drop when she championed this game so hard, and she's like, "All right, we're gonna play." And she now loves it, tells it story all the time. We'll play the game because it's sassy, but she'll be like, "No, you can't play out. I don't want to hear your answers."
Yeah,
If it's like a younger kid or some nephew. So that's fun.
so Exploding Kittens, I did see that you were involved. Now, yeah, that was something you were involved in helping create, or you just helped were working with the company that created it?
I was working with the company. I worked at Exploding Kittens. Well, I
Okay.
think well after their initial success.
Okay.
They actually, I was working at Zappos still when that company started, and they sent a copy of Bears vs. Babies, their second game that they released on Kickstarter. And we play tested and did like a live stream in our courtyard. I had like two people acting as like ESPN commentators for the game while four of us played the game, and we had our production team filming and live streaming everything. So I did that. And again, this is Matt and I were still like casual friends at this point, co-working, colleagues. And I was just like, this is so fun. This company's gonna rock it. So they had two more games, and I came in at one called On a scale of 1 to T-Rex. So that was I think, their fifth game. They're now up to, I was with them through like 5 through 20. I think they're like 26 or 30 games by now. But they're on the shelves at Walmart, all over Amazon, Target, you name it, you'll find it. And yeah, so there's about 20 plus Exploding Kittens games out now. And when I was on that team, I ran the social media. And then that social media team expanded and grew. And at one point, I was working to develop a board game convention called Burning Cat. And Burning Cat had a 55 by 55 foot square ring that we were going to have blown up versions of our game. We were going to use the entire like comic and table like top library from the Joko Cruise. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, I'm
Jonathan
not.
Colton is someone
Oh,
that I think
okay.
you'd love.
Jonathan
Okay.
Colton is one of the two guys I do the podcast with has referenced him quite a lot.
He's incredible. He's incredible. He is niche and cultish to the point where he's a musician who now has a cruise festival where they have literally 2 metric tons of board games brought onto a cruise ship. And it's like, if you like Weird Al, if you like parody, if
Oh,
you like
yeah.
tabletop, if that's your intersection, this cruise is only people like that. And it's incredible. It's called JoCo. And we were going to use their massive game library at our event. And we built a 22 foot tall wooden cat statue that had flame effects and laser nipples and a butthole door that you could walk into. So we had built all this, and I was managing this event. And then March 2020 came around. The event was supposed to be in May, but this little thing called the coronavirus kicked up and we had to cancel the event. So Burning, we never burned her. She's still up in a storage locket up in Seattle. She's still in like in a big shipping container ready to go. But yeah, so I ended up leaving Exploding Kittens, and now I'm at this ad agency. But Matt and I, we still talk every day. And it's one of those, like, it's another version of me finding people who I love whatever they create, so I want to keep them close to me. So it's, I'm not going to ever ask him to, I'm not going to ever micromanage one of his art. I would never micromanage Tommy Skelet's music. And I love finding people that I just kind of trust their artistic vision implicitly, and then like keeping them nearby.
All right, well, that leads me to to one of my questions then. What feeds you, like I said, either creatively, spiritually, physically, not physically, clearly that's broccoli.
Yeah, mostly broccoli. A lot of broccoli.
So like, mentally, like what feeds you? Like what help, like what gets you like going creatively or just in
Yeah,
general?
that's a good one, because I feel like oh, I might have just stumbled on the actual answer. I think it's change. I think that's what keeps me going, is I love seeing stuff change. I love, by virtue of working in social media for 15 plus years, like I've watched trends happen like in the blink of an eye, or massive trends like short form social content, like just take place in real time. So I love beta testing. I love alpha testing even more. I love getting into like on the ground floor to help give feedback and then bounce, right? Like I'm not going to be the one that like sits in one project and tries to use that thing to change the world. I don't have that type of patience or just that mentality. I love being able to join a conversation, join a group, impart a ton of knowledge that helps change the trajectory of whatever the smart people are working on, and then moving to the next one. Whether that's making connections, whether that's just like, oh, you're talking about this? Like, I just heard about this and it might lead to this. Just giving people another angle, right? Like, thoughts and opinions are like grains of sand on the beach, and they're like assholes. Everyone's got one. But I feel like sometimes the right one at the right time will adjust or help a trajectory. And me trying to have as much knowledge and as much connections as physically possible, so I can maybe have a kernel that changes someone else's, like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, and the person that can help with that, and you have some research that you just read on that. Like, sweet. Like, that's what keeps me going. So I'm pretty ever absorbing whatever I can, and then trying to figure out how I can impart it to other people.
All right. And because I have no segues for these kinds of things, I
Sorry.
try.
No,
Sometimes I
segues are much more beautiful.
sometimes I get segues, sometimes I don't. Other times I just have to say, if you could wedgie anyone in history, who would it be?
I thought about this. I also appreciate your line in the email where you're like, hey, Hitler has already been done, plus he deserves more. So I wanted to find that person who needed that exact wedgie, right? Now, I think the person who I think it would have had the most profound impact on, that would have changed the course of history, had he really, had I given him like the perfect wedgie that really made him just question everything about himself, including who he picked as his VP, I would wedgie George W. Bush.
Okay.
That feels like a man who's never been told no. So he deserves to be like lifted off the ground, and for his most likely tighty-whities. And that would humanize him to the point where maybe he would understand the cost of a gallon of milk. And then at that point, he would have not chosen his insane VP and chosen someone smarter. And then maybe we would have, paid attention to growing terrorist cells. And then we would, think of all these things that if this man had been humanized once, we could have avoided.
Yeah, I mean there's something to be said for that.
Also this far down on the blunt, if you could tell.
Well, I mean this is probably the perfect time to ask this question then. If you could live in any fictional world.
Thought about this one a lot. Like too much. I was like, I'm positive Nick hadn't thought about this aspect of it. But can I hear yours?
I mean, listen, I mean, I thought about it a lot, and I don't necessarily know if I've narrowed it down to any one specific, but like I've thought like, oh man, the MCU would be great until I get to thinking, unless I am a superhero, it would be awful.
No, if you were a regular
If like if
human
I'm
being.
myself living in the MCU, that is awful because every other week I'm calling my boss and saying, hey, I can't make it. The
The
Green
Hulk
Goblin,
threw my car.
yeah, the Green Goblin blew up the bridge again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the boss would be like, okay, click. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, well,
I came across that same thing because I want to ask you this real quick. Am I living in the universe as myself, or am I living in the universe as the main protagonist?
yeah, I've never really defined it. I've always kind of just let you decide that for yourself. Because, I also watch a lot of old classic sitcoms. Like
Sure.
I'm currently watch. We have a TV in the break room at work.
Yeah.
That's hooked up. It's a Roku TV, so it's hooked up, and I have Tubi on it. And
Okay,
I've been
perfect.
watching Gilligan's Island.
Oh, great. Did you ever watch the George Lopez show? That's another one I just revisited and I love it.
I don't know. I do watch Lopez versus Lopez, but I never
Oh,
watched
good.
George Lopez show. So
The
maybe
old
after
one is
it,
pretty
maybe when I'm
wild.
done with Gilligan's Island, because I'm in the third season, so I've
Oh,
only got
perfect.
maybe I'll start that one next. But because I watched a lot of Bewitched or I Dream a Genie or
Yeah.
Monsters, and
Yeah.
like I was like, man, it would be fun to live in a monsters world where like next door to me I have Frankenstein, Dracula,
Yeah.
and
Until
and
your
it's
ball
just
goes in their yard and then
well,
they
but
get
it's just,
poisoned going to
but
get
they're
it.
just normal. Like they're just
Yeah.
like normal, average, everyday people. Like that would be a fun world to live in.
Because if it was, I could replace the protagonist of myself, then the universe that I would want to live in, because I think the one that keeps me going, or the one that would like, all right, I'm just gonna come out and say it. I'm not gonna try to define it. James Bond. If
Ooh.
I could replace the main protagonist in that universe in which there are, evil that I can hunt down and I can he's immortal, right? He's
Right.
invincible. But he has access to these gadgets. He has access to this insane amount of intelligence. He can think about how he does one thing that affects another and then that does the greater good, right? Or sometimes it just blows shit up. Like, that's the right, I think. It's not the opposite of what I do right now, but it's pretty opposite enough that I think that'd be fun.
It's the
But if
first
it's me
time.
myself, sorry.
That's the first time I've ever had that answer, and
Really?
I might have to take that one, because I.
Yeah, please.
My two of the me and one of the guys that I do, because I do the podcast with three guys, so there's two
Yeah.
of us. We have watched all the Bond movies, and we've talked about doing
Seen everyone every year. And that sounds weird, but genuinely, AMC and Amazon get the full catalog for James Bond either usually in November or October. And I've watched that since I think ninth grade. Every year I've watched
Yeah,
all of them.
I have seen all of them probably more than once, but it's been a while since I've watched some of the older. It might be time for we've talked about doing like a rewatch podcast, but there's been so many of
Oh,
them that who
hey,
wants to hear
it's all
who
about
wants to
the
hear
right
us,
angle. It's all about having the right different commentary on it.
but yeah, no, I now yeah, all right, I'm stealing your answer. I want to be James Bond.
Maybe the joke is it's a podcast about people who exist. Oh my God. All right, here we go. If the three of you are into this, I would come on as a guest in a heartbeat. But if it's something we did where like we're in the break room at MI6 and we have non-agent jobs. But we have to do like there's one of us from accounting. There's one of us from like janitorial. There's one of us from, and then we're talking about like this fucking asshole. Do you see this? Like, did you see this fucking timesheet he turned in? Or, like, we like try to role play what it'd be like to be in the office with him.
That could be fun. That could be interesting. Is
Okay, pitch it. If your gents are in, I'm down.
right. Anyway, I interrupted. What was the other answer? There was.
If
I
I
feel.
could put myself in another universe where I think I could make the most advantageous choices to then better, I genuinely think, I think you hit the nail on the head with the MCU because like I could just go get a superpower somewhere, right? At this point, they're giving them out in different ways. So I would be lucked enough. That's the hope. DCU is a little too gritty right now. I love
Yeah.
it. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. But I think I'm gonna like it more than Marvel after this James Gunn
I'm really hoping that James
kicks
Gunn
off.
fixed some of the problem. Like, listen, I thought Zack Snyder did an amazing job with Dawn of the Dead.
It was great. It was fine.
I thought 300 was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought Watchmen had some issues, but overall was still really solid.
We
But
just watched Rebel Moon, and it's another thing where like it's not grabbing me and sitting in my brain like Star Wars does and would, but it's like it's beautiful, it's fun
yeah,
in the
I
background, and
mean,
I'm not wasting my time watching it.
it Zack Snyder can shoot a movie. Like, I'm not
Yeah.
going to deny that. What I have said repeatedly on over the course of my podcast is that somewhere after Watchmen, he forgot how he lost the plot. And
Yeah.
he doesn't like he just gets in his own way, I think.
I can see that.
I don't know if
Or
he I don't
he
know.
has like producers that are now like sitting on his back to an nth degree because he keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger projects. Like the bigger the project is, the more voices in your ear
Yeah,
and the more
that's
people that have to. So like I've had the benefit of kind of being in a really big thing, and I've seen how it works to like a very small thing where like there's only one person in charge. So I look at each piece as like, okay, this was the art that you produced. Well done. On to the next thing. Like, I know people have movies that sit in them as like, this is the end all be all, and nothing comes close. But for me, like, the movie that we're going to get in 10 years is, of course, going to be better than what we have right now because we've had the human condition has gotten 10 years more advanced. We have better technology. We have so, like, I'm excited for the next one, right?
Yeah.
Like, I walk out of a movie. Did I waste my time? No. Awesome. On to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean that's and that's the thing. Like I
I
get a
think
lot
that's
of
the, I think that's why I'm such a big MCU fan. Sorry to interrupt. I think
I
that's why I'm okay with watching everything, and some people get butthurt about some
yeah.
stuff.
I think that's why like the DCEU hurts me so much is that I love Batman. I love a lot of the
Yeah.
DC stuff.
Yeah.
But those movies have been objectionably bad.
I don't know. You'll find people that in my circle that will defend Christopher Nolan's stuff
Oh
to the
no, I'm not
death, but I'm
Chris.
like, eh. It's fine. It's a version, but I didn't see him fly through the city once. So it wasn't my Batman.
Like, I
You know what I mean?
mean, The Dark Knight is one of the best Batman movies that's ever been made. The Dark Knight Rises kind of maybe not so much, but like I loved the first Wonder Woman movie. Thought it was amazing. I thought it
It was
was
great.
one of the best things that the DCU did. Wonder Woman
Yeah.
84 was hot garbage.
But at the same time, it is the exact thing is going into the comic book store, reading an arc that you love, and then the next one you picked up is you hate the art style. So
Right.
you're just like, all right, I love the character and I understand what they're doing, but I just got to get through this.
Well, yeah, and that's why
And
you just have to wait a couple months until they switch out the artist
into
or
the
the
next one.
writer,
Yeah, right.
and then
So that's why I'm just like, so I loved Wonder Woman 84 because they took a character and they took a version of magic and they made it real. In a sense that, like, as real as it could be. But it's like, okay, yeah, that arc's over. Now on to the next one. And I feel like as long as the producers and the kind of the people who are financing these Marvel and DCU, and hopefully we start to get some Image and Dark Horse content soon. But like, as soon as they understand that, like, hey, if this one doesn't hit, that doesn't mean don't fund the next one. That means fund the next one harder. Because that'll hit even better is if you double down on what the
Well,
problem is, if it wasn't enough money, you know what I mean? So
and I think I agree with you because I think I see where like producers take the wrong lesson. So you
yes.
have Marvel who decided to build it slowly. They did Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and they built it and then they built up to the Avengers. And then the Avengers made all the money. And Warner Brothers went, well, we want all the money. Look at all the characters we have. Instead of going, all right, we got to start over, or we got to start at the ground and make a couple of singles and build our way up to Justice League. They just went
You have
right
to
to
fill the
Justice League.
bases before you hit a homer, right?
Right.
Like,
Like
so it's,
they just went right to Justice League and they just,
And then
it's
expected us to understand the characters in
right.
the movie as we're going.
Right. And there are people like me who know all of these characters. I've read the books, I've watched the
I have
cartoons, I've
a
played the
whole
video games.
library of comics, so I'm right there with you.
And then there are people like my wife who have only gone to the movies or maybe seen a couple of the cartoons, never picked up a comic book, no interest. So she goes into the Justice League and she's like, "Who's that guy? Who's that guy?" And I'm like, "Well, how do you not know who that, I know who those people are." And she's just like, "Ah," and she checked out.
It's not a four quadrant movie.
Right, she just checked out because she just didn't know who any of these people are. But when she went and saw the Avengers, she was in because she had
Oh,
seen,
yep.
she was invested in Iron Man, she was invested in Cap, she was invested, So when they
Yeah.
introduced a couple of the minor characters in Avengers, they were so minor that it didn't, she was able to get invested in them because
Yeah, in
she
that
didn't have
moment.
to, yeah. And
Because you
so
have other
I,
hooks at that point to hold on
yeah,
to. It's
yeah.
yeah, I'm right there with you. It's one of those that like that's why I think having, running DC, having Jeff run DC is like he's done that with Guardians of the Galaxy well.
Right.
Right?
So
Like,
I'm
been
hoping
able to
now that
build a group, add to the group, change the group. Yeah.
James Gunn can do that with DC and kind of start with Superman and introduce a
Oh.
bunch of the ideas and then
Yep.
kind of go from there. But who knows? We'll see.
I have a feeling that Superman is either going to be chock full of other soups that we get to learn later, or none of them. It's going to be one or the other.
Yeah.
It's going to be either fully full, like JLA exists, all the, every city has its own superhero, or it's just going to be Superman. And like, I'm kind of okay with either of them.
And at this point, the one thing I don't want to see is for the main four or five, you got the main couple with DC and then the main, group of the event. I don't need to see Bruce and Martha. I don't need to see the Waynes die anymore.
No,
I
Flashpacker.
don't,
We
yeah,
get it.
I don't
We get
need,
it.
I don't need to
We're
see Uncle Ben die anymore. I'm good.
Yeah.
I know it's gonna, I know it happened.
Yep.
Like I'm there. Just get on with it. Maybe
Just
some of the other characters, like if you're,
Oh, for sure. I loved Blue Beetle. I thought that was such a fun take on a introduction to a character in a bigger part of the universe. And I thought it was a version of them finding a niche audience that they could grow into. And again, the movie did well. It didn't do great, but it did well. And the lesson DC should learn is to put Blue Beetle in the next thing and do this again. Because you're going to get to your point where you have another
So,
end
like, if
game.
you do Booster Gold,
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I need an introduction movie.
Sitting right next to me is right.
Okay, yeah. All right, there.
Ted Cord Booster.
So
And
if you.
the only way, oh, that's okay. The only way that I could have gotten a Ted Kord movie, because he's another white billionaire, is by the Jaime Reyes being a good way to talk to a niche and kind of introduce a larger universe through a smaller endpoint.
Right.
Like, we're now going to get Booster Gold because of this initial Blue
Right.
Beetle.
But like even me as a comic book fan, I know Booster Gold. I have a general knowledge of his
Yeah.
backstory, but I'm not
Yeah.
like super well versed in him. But like I need an origin movie with that. I don't
Yeah.
need another origin movie with Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, Iron Man. Like I'm good. Like
Yeah.
we've got it. We're, those are the like the story, the characters that like my mom knows. We
Yeah.
don't need an origin movie for that one. Like
Agreed.
if I can show my picture, if I can show my mom a picture and go, "Who's that?" and she can go, "Oh, well, that's so and so." Good, we're moving
Yeah.
on. No more
Yeah.
origin stories for that.
Someone told me the other day, and it kind of stuck with me, that fame is not being in things. It's fame is people know things about you that they shouldn't possibly have any reason to know. And like Superman has fame because like he's from Krypton, there's a dog, his parents died. Like, you know things about him that you wouldn't know your neighbor, right? So like, yeah, they have that level of fame where we don't need to redo it. And hey, James Gunn, if you do hear this, like, just first act it. Don't make it the whole thing. If you need to have it in it, just first act it and then get on to the
I mean,
stuff.
I only have 20 listeners, but he is one of them. So if
Oh, good. All right, James. Hey, it's so nice to meet you. If you ever
I
need
wish, I
to,
absolutely wish he would listen to this.
no. I'm just saying, if you ever need two wonderful gents with beards and dulcet tones, and honestly, how good would it be if we were going to do like the radio in
I
like
would
the
love to do
MCU?
like voiceover stuff.
I said, yeah, that's not some of my voiceover dream job would be to like get a gig in Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, that'd be incredible. It's like one of like the DJs. I know that's already been cast and it's been recorded, but the next Grand Theft Auto being like one of the voice DJs.
So like 20 years from now, because Grand Theft.
Never know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're totally right.
All right. Well, what do we want to? What do you want to plug? Where do we? If my
We
listeners
did a
want to
whole
find you.
segment on my Instagram username, so I feel like I have to clarify that. It's at Eat More Tiny Trees. I had an agency where I was focusing on being a publicist for a while after the pandemic and in between gigs. So if you want to learn more about that, it's eatmoretinytrees.com. And yeah, I'm at Josh Weaver on X, Twitter, and that's probably the best spot so you can get a hold of me right this second if you needed to.
All right, and the podcast is Noodling with Josh.
Sure is. Spotify, Apple, anywhere you can hear music, and then look forward to A, not only Nicholas being on my show, but you want to hear more interviews with We Are Family contestants, I'm going to start releasing those. I think I'm just going to start putting them all out. What do you think? Should I do like one a week, or should I just do all 40 and let people pick and choose? And because then
I
they can
mean,
share all of it if they want.
Yeah, I mean, there's one a week. You're talking like, you know, forever to actually do it, like get to them. But
Maybe.
for man, dropping all 40 at once, that's just it's all. Oh, I don't. That's tough. That's.
Maybe I just do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I just like
Yeah.
schedule them all.
Yeah. You know,
Okay. All right.
That might work out better. Just, I mean, I know, like. There's the internal debate going on now between binging and the weekly.
Yeah.
And you know, at first when streaming started happening, like I loved the idea of like I got the whole season, I could knock it out.
Yeah.
But then like
It's so funny that Netflix is just redoing TV at this point.
And Disney came back out, and I don't think they were the first ones, but Disney was like, you know what, we're releasing them weekly.
Weekly.
And
We need you to come back.
People kind of lost their minds and they're like, how dare you? And I was like, but I think that's what made The Mandalorian that much more successful, because
Oh,
we had a week in between each episode to talk about
To
it
talk. Yep.
and
To
really
talk, to
delve in,
post,
maybe
to make
even watch
art.
it a second time. And like,
Yep.
and we're like, you know, like if I burn through a season of it and then I don't think about it for a year, and I'm like,
Well, I also think, you know, for any of those streamers, they're competing. Actually, the CEO of Netflix said this, that we're getting so big that our only competition is sleep. And they're right, where they're just fighting for time and attention. So if they can do it once a week, they're getting you more often than they would if you burn through it in 6 hours.
Right.
They're getting you
Yeah.
six times in a month versus one
So
time in a month.
I've definitely come back around to the
Yeah.
I'd rather have it like once a week than have to.
Netflix is getting into live too. We have some fights coming up, and then we have WWE that's going to be a weekly live show. So Netflix is literally just redoing television their own way.
I've said for a long time now, I think it's just a matter of time before some of the big boys actually merge.
I
And
mean,
now that Disney bought Fox and kind of merged onto Hulu, and I think it's just a matter of time before Hulu goes away altogether, and it just
oh,
is
for
Disney.
sure. It's just on Disney. Yep.
It's
Yep.
just Disney Plus.
It'll be in the next year.
Yeah. I
Or they
think.
give Hulu to the sports app that they're making, like the three
Okay.
companies.
Yeah.
Remember the three companies that are like all putting in one third to have this?
Right,
I
yeah.
maybe they use the Hulu name, and Hulu is
Right.
just sports
Maybe,
now.
who knows? But I think it's just a matter of time before we you know, Peacock and Paramount team up, or
Yeah.
you
Oh, for
know,
sure.
some of the big ones just start teaming up and
I
merging,
have those
'cause
subscriptions through Amazon. So
yeah.
like I don't even have an app. It's just all watching it through the Prime. So it's already kind of like make
Yeah.
those connections and then you'll get
Yeah,
better user data.
that'll happen. All right, well then,
All right.
this
That's a
is
whole
a
nother combo
Yeah,
for a
this is
very later date.
this is always the part where normally I've got an ending that I have, and normally throughout the way of the conversation I'll find a place to go back to it, but with the interviews it's been a struggle. So normally like I find something that somebody had said that was kind of stupid and I reference it, or like when we did a stoner movie bracket a couple weeks ago. And I was like, you know, oh, if you know, if critics hate, we discovered that critics hate stoner movies, you know, and they're really high user ratings, but really, really low critic score. So I was able to say, oh, if you're a critic and you hate stoner movies, then, you know, then I would say my ending. I don't have one here, so I think I'm just gonna have to say, stupid never walks alone.
Comic books have been around for almost a century, and in the last two decades, we've finally gotten to see many of these characters brought to life in movies and on TV. On the Moving Panels podcast, we discuss movies and TV shows based on, inspired by, and adapted from the world of comic books. Join me and my guests as we discuss both the good and the bad from Marvel, DC, and even some of the lesser-known comic book companies. Learn what is and isn't from the comics, as well as our nerdy review of the movie or show. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So join us for Moving Panels, and I'll see you on the other side of the page.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and listen to an 80s flick flashback podcast once in a while, you could miss it. Do you love movies of a certain age? Do you miss the days of VHS tapes, VCRs, and the video rental stores? Does the thought of another 80s movie being remade seem inconceivable? My name is Tim Williams. I'm the creator and host of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. On each episode, I'm joined by guest co-host to discuss one of the many movies released in the 1980s. We share our first-time watch memories, our favorite scenes, and even learn some behind-the-scenes stories about the cast and crew along the way. New episodes are released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting platform. So make like a tree, get out of here, and go listen to an excellent episode of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. The ad is over. Go home. Go.